Yeah, thank you. Today we are on week number 4 of our series called Encountering God. And so today we'll be talking, it's called Encounter. My sermon today is called Encounter with God. So would you just join me in a prayer before we get started here this morning? Heavenly Father, we just want to praise and thank you, Lord, because you are good, Lord. I just pray like we prayed this morning, Father, that we are just vessels, Lord. I just pray that you're able to pour through me, that the word that you have prepared in my heart, Lord, that it might penetrate the hearts and minds of those that are here, Lord. I pray that you might set the captives free, those that are in chains, that that they hear the truth this morning, Father, and they're able to come to a place of freedom, Lord. So I just pray, be with us this morning as we spend our time with you, Lord, in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we'll start out in. I wanted to have a look at through the Old Testament and also through the New Testament. There's some great heroes of faith that encountered God, and a lot of times they weren't great heroes of faith until God encountered them. And so, the first one that I want to have a look at is Moses and the burning bush in Exodus 3, verse 2 to 4. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. One interesting thing, and it's not a thing that I've noticed before, but when as I was going through this scripture, notice how God did not speak to him until he turned aside. And I think this is a truth also for us today too, and it's something to keep in mind as we go through this, the word. It was when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. So sometimes we see God. We see what he's doing, but we don't turn aside. We continue on our path instead of turning aside to him to see what he is doing. So keep that in mind as, you know, I just thought that was good. So the next one is Jacob and the ladder to heaven. In Genesis 28, verse 12 to 13, he says, And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. And then there's another one from Gideon as well. And then as we get into the Gospels, God spoke by his son. So there was a period of time in between the Old Testament and the New Testament where nobody heard from God. There was nothing. People were searching for him and there was nothing. And then Jesus came, and even his disciples did not quite grasp the full gravity of what he was there to do. In John 14, verse 8 to 10, it says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me and does his works. So, and then as we get into the Gospels, into Acts and so forth, God speaks by his Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 2, verse 1, it says, When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And then it divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you can kind of see, and I mean, this is a brief snapshot of the scriptures as it goes through, but God has been working consistently and continually to a particular point, to a point where he could bring the Holy Spirit so that we could actually have God within us, right? So in Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3 in the Passion Version, it says, Through our history, God has spoken to our ancestors by the prophets in many different ways. The revelation he gave to them was only a fragment at a time, built one truth upon another. But to us, living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of a son, the appointed hire of everything. For through him, God created the panorama of all things and all time. The sun is dazzling in radiance of God's splendor, the exact impression of God's true nature, his mirror image, he holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. He accomplishes for us the complete cleansing of sins, and then he took the seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. So God sat down beside the Father and sent his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost for us to be able to walk with him. You know, I can't even imagine in the Old Testament saints, they long for the day when they could experience God on a daily-to-day basis. But they would only experience him in part. They would encounter him only in part. So I just want you to realize here today, when you encounter the Holy Spirit, when you feel the Holy Spirit, when you walk the Holy Spirit, you have an encounter with God. That is an encounter with God. So I think sometimes, you know, real Christianity is not merely a religion. It is a relationship with a person. It is an intimate love relationship with God. To this relationship, God reveals his will and invites you to join him in where he's at work. So the big thing I think I want to ask today is, you know, what are some of the things that stop us from hearing God? Because it's not like we don't want to, but I think, and maybe I can just speak from my own experience, it is we get distracted. And one of the things that, and I you know, again, for me is social media. Sometimes we can either use this as a coping mechanism. I know that's what it is for me. When you have a hard day, when you don't know, when you feel like you're worn out, you've faced all these challenges throughout the day, it's a way to just escape. But the problem of it is, after you sit down, you watch, it might be fine stuff, it might be educational, it might be all these things, these excuses that you give yourself. But the problem of it is, we are meditating on the things of the world. We are meditating on the things of the world. And I can guarantee you, and I know that's the truth for me, sometimes I'll spend a lot more time meditating on the things of the world, the fears, the anxiety, the filth that shows up. It comes through in everything that is of the world. Whether you think it's educational or not, there is filth that continues to come into us. And we absorb it. And I think there is something deep in that, because I know this particular problem. I've prayed for people that have this particular issue, because they have found a way of escape, but not the true escape. So, you know, I don't know. My point is, I guess, on this particular point is that watch what you're meditating on. And I've been continually working myself off that trend and working on how do I not use that as my crutch? How do I come before the Father and tell him about my day? To tell him what the struggles are that I'm going through? Because I can tell you, once I leave it with him, it's done, it's gone. He is the one that comes and we are able to rise up again, right? So it says in Luke 21, verse 34, "Be careful that you never allow your hearts to grow cold. Be careful that you are not caught off guard, or your hearts will be weighed down with the carousing drunkenness and the worries of this life. And that day will come upon you suddenly like a trap. Don't let me come find you drunk or living carelessly like everyone else. And I can tell you, if you continue to meditate on the things of the world, we will miss and we will find the Lord coming when we do not realize Him coming. So we need to be awake to see when He is coming. So, what are some other things? I know there could be many things. There could be hobbies. The hobbies could be, there could be nice hobbies. But if it's taking you away from God, if it's taking you from away from going to church, it is not God's will. I can tell you that. God wants us to have hobbies. He has no issue with it. But the problem of it is, when we put that in place of Him, we're elevating it above Him, above what He wants for our life. And I can tell you, everything that is not of Him brings us to a point of bondage, and it brings us to a point of destruction. So, how do we hear Him on a daily basis then? And one of the things that I think is that we need to consistently do is worship Him. And the way I always do this is I will put on some worship music. And I can tell you, with this process, it puts something in our hearts. It pushes things out of the way, so that when we praise Him, we're able to connect with Him in a deeper way. So that when you go into the Word, reading the Word of God, you're able to hear from Him. You're able to receive from Him. It is not that He doesn't want to speak to us, but it is sometimes our own stuff that gets in the way, right? Our own stuff that holds us back. Our unbelief, or whatever that might be, the thing that we have set up before Him, right? So it says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word is a light to our path. So continually put it before yourself. Put that word before you. And the one other cool thing about the word of God is, as we read it, as we continue to meditate on it, as we continue to absorb it, take it in, this word, the Holy Spirit actually uses that word to bring it up in ourselves. And I've been noticing that more in the last while, you know, that God will bring up a certain scripture to me. When I have a question for Him, all of a sudden He'll bring the scripture to me and say, that is why this is happening. That is, you know, I think that is so cool, that the Holy Spirit, but if the Holy Spirit does not have truth, if we do not have truth in us, He cannot bring up that truth to our remembrance, right? So we need to read the Word of God. And one of the things I think, me and Yolanda have talked about this many times, the speaking God's promises over our lives. And, you know, one of the destructive things that can happen as we meditate on the things of the world, we have a voice inside us sometimes that condemns us consistently, continually. And sometimes we don't even notice this voice talking to us. It's just silent in the background, but it's always speaking. And until you hear, until you are in the Word of God, until you start walking before Him, all of a sudden you start noticing this Word, this thing, it sounds like your own voice is actually condemning you. It's actually calling you down. So how could that be? God does not condemn us. God has forgiven us. God has brought us into freedom. How can we condemn ourselves? Well, this is the enemy disguising himself as us, as our voice. And so what the promises of God do is, as you speak them, so, you know, there's always, Jesus did this in the New Testament. He countered lies with the Word of God. So until you know the Word of God, you cannot counter what the enemy says. Sometimes you think it's truth, but it is actually a lie. So get into the Word of God to be able to speak it, and make sure, you know, hey, just Google the promises of God. And it's just that simple. And start repeating them. Start putting them on your mirror. Start putting them in your visor above your, when you're driving your car, you flip it down, you see the promises of God. Continue to meditate on them so that they become real. They are there for us, right? And it says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory." It is Him. It is Him. It is yes and amen. So, we come to, I think the last one is prayer. So, it might not be the last one, but the next one is prayer. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't be pulled into different directions or worries about that thing. Be surrendered in prayer throughout each day. Offer your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. I tell you every detail of your life. God wants to hear every single detail. God wants us to work it through with Him. And a cool thing, we're just going through a study, me and my small group, called Experiencing God. And one of the challenges in there was for one of the weeks was that we have to go somewhere and go for a walk and pray and just try to listen to God. And so, yeah, okay, we wanted to do the challenge. So I went to Bevan Park. I went for a walk. Ended up going for a 45-minute walk. And just to listen, just to hear, and to pray. I was amazed, actually, because sometimes, you know, you sit on the couch and you're praying and so on, so many distractions and, you know, phones going on, all these things happen. Just to go and walk and in nature and just man, the clarity. So I've been actually doing this on a regular basis. I actually try to, my lunch hour, at least 2, 3, 4 times a week, I try to go for a walk and just pray. And man, has that been a powerful thing. God is, it is unreal. And of course, our focus has to be on God and has to be actually wanting to hear from Him. But what a powerful way to pray by walking. And, you know, it's one of those things, right? You're doing something, but you're still able to focus on God. And so maybe that's, you know, the fidgety guy in me or whatever. Sometimes you just need to be distracted so that you can actually focus on God, right? Your body needs to be distracted walking while you're focusing on God. So, meditating. So I know I've mentioned it a few times already, but in Joshua 1 verse 8 it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For when you will make your way This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have a good success." So God wants us to have success, but our focus has to be on the right spot. Success, God is not afraid of success in our life, but it has to become from the right perspective. It cannot become an idol in our life. When we focus on Him and when we are focused on what He is doing, He wants to prosper us. He wants to bless us. He wants to flow through us to bless others around us, right? But when I idolize it we put that up as an idol and we worship it, well, that becomes something else completely then, right? And so we have to be careful in those things. And what it says here, as we focus on His Word, as we focus in Him, He will bless us, right? And how many of you know when God wants to bless you, He can bless you. He can pour blessing from every direction that you don't even know where it's coming from, right? So how do we follow His leading then? I think Jesus set the best example. And, you know, we've talked about a few things already and how we come before Him in listening to Him. But Jesus in John 5 verse 19 says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise.'" So even Jesus, you would think, oh yeah, it's Jesus. I mean, He didn't need anybody. He knows, you know. No, Jesus submitted Himself fully to the Father. He watched where the Father was working. He says, "I cannot do a thing unless I see the Father working." So all the things that He did here, it was because He seen the Father working. He was seeing the Father doing it, and then He joined Him in His work. So we need to watch, and then just what I talked about Moses at the beginning there. When you see God, He'll show you where He's working, And I just so you know, nobody comes to the Father except if He draws them. So the Holy Spirit is always drawing people to Himself. When people are interested in God, when people have questions about God, that is God working in that person. That is you seeing God working. So are you going to join Him? Are you going to join Him in His work? And then He will flow through you and give you the answers that you need, right? But we need to be watching where the Father is working, or where the Son is working, the Holy Spirit. So, one of the things I always find hilarious, and I know this is sometimes my own thought process as well, you know, we think that we come before God, we get our orders, and then we go out there, and we try to accomplish, we try to get it done, and then when we fail, we come back to Him. But that is not how God works. That is not how God wants to work through us. He is already working. He just wants us to join Him in His work, right? I just have a Smith Wigglesworth. I thought this was a great quote, kind of fits in. There's nothing impossible with God. All the impossibility is with us. When we measure God by the limitations of our unbelief. And you know, in Scripture, there was many times when people asked God, you know, heal my son. And I know this one particular Scripture, you know, He says, heal my son. And He says, do you believe? And Jesus says, do you believe? And He says, help my unbelief. I think sometimes we need to honestly just come before God and say, help our unbelief. We want to believe that You can do this, but help our unbelief. Help us with our unbelief, right? John 15:5, one of my favorite scriptures. He says, I am the vine, You are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. Notice how Jesus could do nothing without the Father. We cannot do nothing without the Son, without being abiding in Him and in the vine. So a branch cannot be separated from the vine and still produce fruit. So just imagine us needing to be, how much we need to be connected to Him in order for us to bear fruit. So just had a little bit of a list. If we want to live a God-centered life, we need to place our confidence in God. Depend on God and His ability and provision. Focus on God and His activity. Be humble before God. Deny yourself and seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Choose a holy and godly living to know and to do God's will. We must deny ourselves, return to God and God-centered living. So, deny ourselves. Sometimes, and I've tried this many times, you know, do we really need to deny ourselves? I'm sure we'll be okay. Jesus loves us. Well, the problem is, just like I said, when He shows you where you're working, you need to turn. Because I can tell you, it's not going to come at a convenient time for us to turn to Him and to follow Him. It'll be inconvenient. You might be on the way to somewhere. You might be doing something important. But when God shows you where He is working, we need to turn. We need to deny ourselves and turn to Him. So watch for Him where He is working. We need to watch for Him. So I thought this was a good quote. If we have a hard time following God, we don't have an understanding problem or an obedience problem. We have a love relationship problem. So I think God, and you know, I've been praying for this for the last while already. God, show me Your love. Show me the depth of Your love. And you know, He is so, so good. And, you know, He's shown me small glimpses of that love. I don't think I can even fathom it, but just to feel what He feels for us. And I think this is a hunger that we need to have, that love that He has for us. We need to cry out, show us Your love. Show us that depth of Your love. The Father wants to show us. He wants to. And that's why I think we need to change our attitudes around that God wants to. He wants to more than we do. it is us that need to turn to Him, right? So when we believe, I'll leave that one. Philippians 2 verse 13 says, the world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man. Oh, sorry, this is not Philippians. For some reason I have it below there, but it's not Philippians. Sorry, this is a quote by Henry Verley. The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man or woman who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him. Man, what a powerful statement. What an amazing thing. And we see as we walk through all the prophets, all the people that have encountered God, the amazing things that He did. He wants to do that. And He even says, I want to do greater things than these. I want to do greater things. He says that to the Son. The Son says, the Father wants to do greater things in you than He even did to the Son. Can you imagine that? I don't even understand that. I don't even understand what that means. But God wants to work through us, right? So in Philippians 2 verse 13 it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. I know a lot of times you ask that question, you know, yes, I want to do all these things. But I think the one thing we got to realize, God will change our desires as we meditate on the Word of God. He actually changes our minds, our hearts, to actually long for the right things, right? He actually shows us the right things. And He is actually works through us both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Isn't that beautiful? So, I just have one last scripture I want to share with you here. It's a bit of a long one, but it's not on our PowerPoint this morning. But it is written, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows the person's thoughts except the Spirit of the person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths. To those who are spiritual, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but in himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 16. Isn't that amazing? We have the mind of Christ. And I've been trying to remind myself that, that it is not my wisdom, but it is God. It is His wisdom that is in me. So if I need wisdom, I need to ask. And He will give. Because I have the mind of Christ. I have the Spirit of Christ in me, living in me. So we need to be reminded that we are children of the Most High God, right? So that brings me to the end of my message here this morning. So I will get into some prayer here. So the one thing I wanted to just say, if any of you, if there's somebody out here this morning that has not accepted the Lord as God, or maybe you want to come to a place where you want to just rededicate your life to Him, I will give you an opportunity this morning just to enter in, to be able to accept Him if you haven't accepted Him, and to just say, hey, I'm coming before You once again, Lord. Cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. So join me in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You, Lord, because You are good. You're so good to us, Lord God. And I just want to pray, Lord, as we stand before You here, Lord, there is no distance between us, Lord God. You are right here. So I just pray, Lord, that for the heart of the person that is here right now that says, hey, I want to just rededicate my life to you. I just want to come before you, Lord. I want to know you, Heavenly Father. I just pray that you fill them with your Holy Spirit once again, Lord. Refresh them, Lord God. Bring them to a place where they are able to walk with you, Heavenly Father. And I pray that you surround them with people that are able to speak into their lives, Lord God, so that they are able to come to a place where they are honestly saying, I am more free than I've ever been in my life before. And Lord, I just want to speak to those maybe out here this morning also that maybe have never given their life to you. Or maybe there's somebody online right now that, they're saying right now, I have not given my life to him yet. I have not made that commitment to him. So I just want to pray with you right now. So could you just repeat this prayer with me? God, please forgive me for all that I have done wrong. I believe you sent your son, Jesus, to set me free. I want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life from now on. I am following you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can have the power to change for the rest of my life.